The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Gordon Brown, Ross Briley and Gary Capel will be in the studio. It's Catrick and Foss last in the afternoon, Ripon and Kempton in the evening, and there's a good card over in Ireland as well on Tuesday evening from Cork that features the listed Platinum Stakes and the Group 3 Give Thanks Stakes. So plenty of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. Hi, Mick.
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. We're also going to do the Monday Jury on this edition of the podcast. The questions in the Racing Post on Monday morning as we record this. And it's got a glorious Goodwood and Galway flavour. Those two festivals finished for the year. They'll be back next year, of course. But take this opportunity while we can to look back at some of the highlights. And it was good on both accounts, wasn't it, Mick?
Yeah, tremendous. Both of them in their own right. In some ways, it's a shame that they clash because they would both stand up on their own, wouldn't they? But they've got both got their place in the calendar, and sadly that's how it's going to be. But a great week of racing both sides of the Irish Sea.
Certainly was, and the big highlight for most people will have been the Sussex Stakes, and that's the subject of the first question. Does Toronado now have the edge over Dawn Approach should they meet again, Mick?
I don't necessarily see why he should have. Your mind goes back to the beating that Toronado got in the Guineas, doesn't it? I think that the narrow margin of the win at Royal Ascot for Dawn Approach, probably due to his exertions at Epsom, and he got beaten at Goodwood with a combination of circumstances. The race didn't pan out, the pacemaker fell out of the stalls, Manning was in a bit of a no man's land as what to do, where to go. Well, Richard had managed to put Toronado to sleep. His game plan, challenged late and wide.
Yeah,
everything worked for him. He handled the track better than Dawn Approach.
Yep.
I think it's all to play for and bring it on wherever they go.
Yep.
I don't think he's necessarily got an advantage because he beat him on the day. I think he handled the track better than Dawn Approach, Toronado. And Richard Hughes, as we know, is a master around Goodwood. I think that had a part to play. I think the race was sort of won and lost in the first 200 yards myself. But don't forget also that these Group 1 races have a cumulative effect on horses, and we saw that with Frankleven. His last performance was nowhere as scintillating as Ascot or the Judmont, was it?
No.
But he got the job done. His sheer class got him home.
Yeah.
They do have a debilitating effect, a knock-on effect, each Group 1. I hope we don't see this renewal of their battle till September at the earliest. They both had a tough time.
Yeah.
And to go again too soon, I think, would be detrimental to both of them.
Yeah, it'd be great to see them in something like the QE2, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Back into the season.
Yeah.
I'd also be interested to see how the betting shapes up in that as well, because if Dawn Approach ends up second favourite, I think that would be intriguing for me anyway. I think I'd probably go in on him if he could get a nice enough
yes,
price.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, the three-year-old brigade, they're head and shoulders, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it's great that there's so little between them that it turns. It's not a matter of ability. It's because they both got bags of it. It ends up down to tactics, etc., doesn't it? Which is good stuff. And bring it on. And round four, whatever, wherever.
Yeah. Good, we'll look forward to that later on this season. Hopefully it will happen again. On to the second question then. Who ran the best Ebor trial during Goodwood and Galway, Mick?
I was thinking about this one. For me, considering it was his first run of the season, I thought Camborne ran an excellent race to finish second to the enterprisingly ridden Harris Tweed. He did disappoint slightly in the race last year, but I think they overdid the hold-up tactics. I know he's a hold-up horse, but last year he was held up, never got into it. On the evidence of that reappearance, it could even be better than ever this year at the age of five. And nobody knows better than young joggers what it takes to win these big races. I don't think they'll make the mistake they made last year of leaving him out of his ground and never getting into the race. And next stop for me, Ebo, Camborne. And even if Harris Tweed runs, I don't think Harris Tweed will get the soft lead he got at Goodwood in the Ebo. And even if he does, Buick will know exactly what to do. No, I thought that was as good a trial as I've seen anyway for it.
Yeah. Okay then, so you're following that line of form, and you think the form will be reversed if
I hope so. I would hope so if I backed him. I mean, Harris Tweed is a smashing horse, and he's owned by Brian Haggis, Willie's dad, and he's a great enthusiast. Is Brian a great fella? And he would love to win the Ebo, and he'd give him a great run from the front, won't he? But from a betting point of view, probably be a better price as well, Camborne, than Harris Tweed. But yeah, I do think that Goodwood race is a key race for the Ebo.
Okay. The third question is around Goodwood Cup winner Brown Panther. Do you think he's here to stay amongst the cup horses?
Oh, I do. I definitely do. On his day, he's very good, isn't he, Brown Panther? His sire, Scirocco, we know his horses get better with age. He was a four-time Group 1 winner himself at 12 furlongs, and the Dam Treble Heights was group placed, and a half sister to plenty of good horses as well. And you know, these classy older horses that stay in training, there are more of them than they used to, but there's still only a handful of these that are exceptional. And I think, I think he's got plenty to look forward to. That Goodwood Cup was a revelation, and I think he's got to be leading fancy for next year's Gold Cup.
Okay. Can Carlingford Lock develop from Galway Plate Hero to championship contender?
No. It's a summer horse, Mark, and that's what he is.
That's fair enough, He only ever wins in the summer months, and he likes Galway as well, doesn't he?
Loves it.
It's to be seen if he'll do it anywhere else as well. So.
He's a very, very good horse and a very good handicapper, but it's just a giant step, and he's going to be facing a different beast if he goes into graded company.
Would you aim to just train him for the plate again next year? Would that be your aim if he was yours?
I don't see why not. Yeah. I mean, they've got plenty of horses that can go for other races where he looks a very specialised performer at what he does well. So why alter it? It's not as if he's a one horse man, is it? You know, they've got plenty of other horses who can go those routes. Stick to what he knows. And keep him for that.
If he's not broken, don't fix
it. Absolutely.
Hughes and Smullen aside, then, Mick, which jockey caught your eye at Goodwood or Galway?
Well, the highlights for me, from the jockey's point of view, is at Goodwood, were Paul Mulrennan winning on Movie Star. I know he got a six-day ban, but the stewards were giving out bans like confetti at Goodwood. So what was the matter with them? I just do not know. And Paul will be on board Movie Star. Again, I'm presuming the Nunthorpe, and I think he's vastly overpriced for the Nunthorpe. There's very little difference between these top-class handicappers and Group 1 sprinters at his trip. You know, it's a very tight margin. A Movie Star we saw make the transition from handicapper to group horse at Goodwood, and I think he can take another step forward as well. Great to see Paul on board. And Franny Norton, who's been given a sort of, in the autumn of his career, a sort of major chance by Mark Johnson. Is he making the most of it? I thought he was brilliant on Goodwood on Thursday in the Gordon's Handicap on Broughton. And great to see that. And at Goodwood, I just thought we saw what everyone's raving about, young Connor King, the horse of David Barnes, whose name escapes me at the moment, but you know, he's given the chance and he took it with both hands, and Andy Holden been raving about him for months, hasn't he? And I've never really taken that much notice of him, but particularly at Galway, and I thought, yes, very cool young man. And of course, Gary Carroll was one of Andy's tips for the top before I'd hardly ever seen him, and of course, look what Gary Carroll did. So keep an eye on young Connor King. I think he's definitely a name for the future. And we shouldn't forget Johnny Murta either.
No.
Goodness me. You know, get Johnny on a good horse and that's it, game over, isn't it? Brilliant on Forgotten Voice at Goodwood. And also that winner of the two-year-old of Marcus Dragonings that give a bit of luster to mount because it's a miserable season so far.
Yeah.
But brilliant Murtagh.
Okay, and the final question of this week's Monday Jory is, give us another horse you've spotted at either of the two festivals to follow, Mick.
I think with the ground being as it was difficult to sort of get an angle on the Goodwood, what was going on at Galway, I should say. So I'm not sure the two-year-old races were up to much at Goodwood. I might be proved wrong. But a horse that really caught my eye in the Stewards' Cup was Ninjago, trained by Richard Hannon. Richard Hughes rode him. He finished fifth of 27 in what, for me, I thought the strongest sprint handicap of the year was the Wokingham. I think the Stewards' Cup's right up there with it, and the race will work out really well. He finished fifth. He wasn't beaten very far. He's the first home of the three-year-olds in the race, and he'd already been tested in Listed and Pattern Company. I think the key thing to him is, Mark, that on his final start at two, he put up a very good performance in a conditions race at Newmarket. I think it was in late October, on very soft ground. So he's not going to be inconvenienced as these races pan out towards the end of the season when the ground comes wet.
Yeah.
So he's, from now on till the end of the season, he's a horse I'd very, very much have on my side. And he was unlucky not to have finished closer than fifth. He tracked the right group through. He was in that centre group where the winner came from, etc. Didn't just quite get going quick enough. But you have a look back at the race and he's finishing as well as the winner. And the winner was mightily impressive.
Mm. OK, good stuff, Mick. That's the Monday jury for another week then. So now we'll move on to Tuesday's racing, and we've got racing at Catterick and Fosslass in the afternoon, Ripon and Kempton in the evening, as we've mentioned. You're going to look at one at Catterick and a couple at Ripon, Mick. You looking forward to Tuesday?
Yes. Not that many runners at Ripon, but one of the races we looked at is a really good sprint handicap in honour of David Chapman, who used to train just up the road from where I live, and a great man, David, and... great that Ripon have put up a race in his memory.
Okay, that's the 7:40. We'll move on to that next. But first up is the 3:45 at Catterick, and this is the Soldiers Charity Handicap. It's over a mile and 5 furlongs. Where do you want to start in this one, Mick?
Yeah, just short of a mile and 6. The top weight party line, Franny Norton riding for Mark Johnson, and she looks as though she's running herself into form. She's £3 lower than her last win, and she shapes as though she was running into form at Carlisle at last time. She won 4 times in handicaps in 2012. As a result, the mark shot up. She couldn't cope with that, but she's gradually getting back to a winnable mark and has got to be respected in this Class 4 handicap. Platinum is interesting, trained by Phil Kirby. Russ Kenemo taking the ride. He's very game and consistent, Platinum. He's £7 higher than his last win, so a career best is required. But I don't think it's beyond him because he's still unexposed at these longer trips on the flat. And he showed that there's no problem to him over hurdles. So I don't think 79 is beyond him. And the other one to have a close look at, if the money comes for it, is Narcissus, trained by Mick Easterby, and used to be trained by Ed Dunlop. Made his winning handicap debut to Ripon for Ed Dunlop last summer. Hasn't quite at the height yet for his new yard, but and has had 81 days off since we last saw him. But definitely one to keep an eye on if the market speaks, and even if it doesn't, keep an eye on him, whatever happens, because there will be plates in this to win sooner rather than later. I'm going to give the vote to Platinum, but I'm seriously worried about Party Line.
OK. Let's move on to the 7:40 at Ripon, and this is the race you just mentioned a moment ago.
Yeah, cracking race.
David Chapman Memorial Handicap. It's over 5 furlongs, as you mentioned, a cracking sprint handicap, and you can give any number of these a chance, couldn't you, Mick?
Absolutely. We'll start with Singer, who won this race 12 months ago, off a £2 higher mark, and looks as though they've had the race in mind as well for a return.
Yeah.
Because his last run and his third of the season was his best yet, was second behind another wise kid at Pontefract over this 5 furlongs, and another step forward would see him not far away singer. Others to consider are Jack Louis, who looks a very progressive sprinter trained by Lance Mullaney. He's 6 years old now, but looks better than ever. He's £4 higher than his last win, but very progressive. Got plenty of form on soft ground as well, so if it keeps raining, it won't inconvenience him one bit. And he comes here on the back of a good run in Class 2 last time, and he's down into Class 3 here. He's going to get the vote, Jack Louis. But I do respect the chances of another one who looks as though he's getting himself well handicapped, and that's Silvanus, who's £5 lower than his last win, and that was at Ponte last summer, but better last time, and sure to be thereabouts. Now he's got back to a winning mark. Amazingly, in his 56 turf races, this is only his second start here at Ripon, but he did run well back in a handicap. He finished fifth in a big field, only beating a couple of lengths, so the track will hold no terrors for him. But in an open-looking contest where they should go 4 or 5 to 1 the field, I'm going to give the vote to the consistent and still appearing to be improving Jack Louis.
OK. And the final race we're going to look at is the 8-10 at Ripon. This is a Class 4 handicap over the 2-mile trip. And we'll start with All Wilder here, if we can make improved. With every single step up in trip this year, gone up in trip and won over 1.75 miles last time, up to 2 miles again. Is it going to bring out further improvement?
That's the key thing, Mark, isn't it? She's still only rated 80, despite her progressive profile. And as you pointed out correctly, she's improved with every step up in trip. Mm. She's improved her profile. So I don't think the £6 penalty is going to stop her. And she gets, importantly, she gets the £15 weight for age against some pretty exposed-looking rivals that don't appear to have much in the way of secrets from the handicapper. So, yeah, I'll be surprised if Alvelder doesn't back up from that Sandown performance, which was visually very impressive last week. We'll definitely stay 2 miles and further as well.
OK, main danger now, would it be Man of Plenty or something like that, probably?
Got to be a danger, hasn't he? One for the first time James Doyle rode him last time at Nottingham. Got another new jockey on board here in the shape of Graham Lee. Still quite well in on his old form off a mark of 78, and looked back to his best on that softest ground at Nottingham. So he won't mind if it keeps raining, Man of Plenty, although it is forecast to be warmer tomorrow, so that ground may go back to good as it was forecast to be prior to racing starting. That was for the Monday card, so we shall see. And the other one to consider is Tartan Jura, trained by Mark Johnson. Joe Fanning takes in the ride on this one. He ran well on his only previous start here at Ripon, and he's only £3 higher than that Catterick win 2 outings ago, an incredible fourth at Beverley last time, and sure to give his running once more if for any reason Alvilda doesn't perform. Tartan Jura will be there to pick up the pieces, but I do think Alvilda does look to have another of these in it, and she'll make the most of that £15 weight for age, I'm sure.
OK, let's have a quick summary then, Mick, if you will, before you go.
Yeah, the Catterick race, I thought that the consistent Platinum could get his head in front there again in that 3.45. In the 7.40 at Ripon, the David Chapman Memorial, a typical sprint handicap that David would have loved to plot one up for. Jack Louis can get due reward for his consistent. He'll land his second win of the season in that. And in the 8.10 at Ripon, I'm looking to Sir Mark's Alvilda to back up from her Sandown success.
Good work. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
OK. Well done, Mark. Thank you.
Those are the selections of Mick Norton then for Tuesday's racing. We have Catterick and Foss last in the afternoon, Ripon and Kempton in the evening. There's also a good card over in Ireland on Tuesday evening from Cork. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Ross Briley and Gary Capewell in the studio. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.